You talk about momentum. There are several banners hanging around the Tacoma Dome put up by the PLU cheer staff. One of them says, momentum, catch it. So it's up to one of these teams in the second half to do exactly that. Coldham approaches the ball and kicks it away from his own 35. He angles it toward the sideline, and it's taken by Kenny from his 20-yard line out of the 25 and steps out of bounds. So not a big return, though Coldham kicked it a little short trying to get it to the sideline away from Kenny, but Atron turns it out of the 26-yard line, and that's where the Pointers will start. First and 10 with 14 minutes and 58 seconds to play in the third quarter and a 6-6 ball game. So we'll be underway here shortly as the offense for Wisconsin Stevens Point comes out onto the field, and the Loop defense, which held pretty well in that first half, is going to try to hold up here in the second half as the Loops will start with John Wolf at the left end spot, John Crawl at the right end. They've been there all year, but those injuries took them out of the playoff games. Mike Tuiasosopo carried off the field in the first half, is back in at his tackle spot along with Ken Byrne at the other tackle spot. And here is Baumgartner, a handoff to Keith Majors, his first carry out across the 32-yard line, a pickup of about 5 yards for Keith Majors, the fullback, who we haven't seen carry the ball hardly at all, as this Wisconsin team certainly has not predicated its success on the running game this season.
In fact, that is Majors' first carry of the game. Blanco doing most of it, well, all of it actually, for the Pointers.
Checking out the rest of the Loot defensive lineup, of course, Keith Crasson in at the linebacker, Guy Kovacs at the other. They stay with the five defensive backs, Brian Larson and Mike Cheney on the corners, Mike O'Donnell along with Scott Elston and Craig Mathias on the other defensive backs for the Loots to start this game. Baumgartner in a shotgun on a second down and five, and he rolls out of the right side, throws it, got a completion to Blanco, 40-yard line, 45, steps up, 40, 50-yard line, out of bounds at the PLU 45-yard line. Big pickup by Theo Blanco into the PLU secondary. He got a nice little out pattern and took it up the sideline for big gains with 14-11 to play in this third quarter as we're just underway, and the crowd on both sides trying to hustle back to their seats to get ready for this second half of the championship game.
Cheney on man-to-man coverage that time got hung up in some traffic as he actually got tangled up with his own defender covering another receiver and lost a step or two to Blanco.
Luke's now a little looking for a blitz as Paul Mall has come in on that defensive line. Luke's looking to send everybody. They may have jumped, but no flags down. Quick out pass incomplete to Blanco, but now a flag has come down. The official on the far side brought it down. The Lutes were very anxious to get across that neutral zone, and I think they may have done it. Encroachment is the call. It cost them 5 yards. And Steve, they wanted to be anxious and look like they were showing blitz, but you just can't make that mistake. The pass goes incomplete, and now it's nullified with the 5-yard penalty. It's going to be a first down and 5. So that's really a big penalty for the Lutes to commit in this situation, as now the Pointers have it down on the PLU 40-yard line.
We were straight on with the play, had a good angle of the line of scrimmage, and somebody on the right side of the line for the Lutes, definitely in the neutral zone, and a two-point stance, somebody down on the end, whether it was a linebacker or a defensive end, not sure. They were definitely in the zone, and a correct call by the official.
Kenny goes out of a split end to the left side, and a slot inside of him is Tweet. Baumgartner now not in shotgun as he's got a first down and 5 situation. Long snap count. I think the Lutes may have jumped again. The flag's complying. Baumgartner a free throw, and he throws it out of bounds down around the 10-yard line, and the Lutes jumped again, and I don't think they were drawn up. Again, the same sort of anxiousness is going to cost them 5 yards, I believe, unless somebody pulled him off, and I didn't see that.
It looked to be Scott Squires, who was jumping around in his linebacking position, right over the center, bouncing around a bit. And of course, they want to give Baumgartner some different looks, get him to thinking just exactly what they are going to do, whether they're faking the blitz or actually coming. And boy, they just got to be a little more careful there.
The ball at the 36-yard line of PLU now with that 5-yard penalty in between the 35 and 36 and a first down and 10. And the Lutes, for the second play in a row, cost themselves 5 with the penalty. And we'll see what the Pointers do now in a 6-6 game with 14 minutes and 3 seconds to play in the third quarter, as this second half is just getting underway and the Pointers take the ball on the first possession of the second half. Prince goes in motion and Baumgartner back to pass. Elston Atford brings him down to the 45-yard line. Elston came on that cornerback blitz, and of course any time the Lutes send one of the defensive backs, they've got to get there in a hurry because it just leaves them vulnerable in the secondary. Elston had done it before and Baumgartner got away, but Scott wrapped him up well back at the 44-yard line, and a big loss of about 9 yards. It'll be second down and 19.
Almost expecting to see what kind of heroic Baumgartner was going to pull out that time. He's been in the grass so many times and got rid of the ball. That time though, Elston came from behind, wrapped himself right around the knees and brought him down.
13-28 and counting, third quarter. Tweet now wide to the left side, the flanker. Split to the left side. They've got the tight end in there, Don Malin, who's made some big catches today. Shotgun formation for Baumgartner. Quick out to the right side. He's got Kenny, complete 30-yard line. Pickup of about 16 yards. It'll be third down and about four coming up from the 30-yard line. So a big play here. If the Lute defense can hold, we'll see if they go with a field goal try. But a third down and four, and the Lutes are not giving Atron Kenny anything long, and he's certainly been used to going long all season long.
He has. The key is to keep that man in front of you, and of course, if you're going to do that, you got to come off the line of scrimmage a couple more steps, and they've taken advantage of that, the room underneath on the slant pattern, more than two or three times this afternoon.
Derek Bowen over the ball at center, and he is ready. As in shotgun formation is Baumgartner, and he wheels out to the left side angle. Look, he's going to try to throw it. Squires after him, won't get him before he gets the first down at the 30. Well, inside the 25-yard line, down to the 24. Squires couldn't get there to cut him off soon enough as everybody was down in the secondary, and they didn't get good pursuit. And Baumgartner picked up 5 yards, enough for a first down from the PLU 24-yard line.
Luke coming with a blitz and with everybody out in the pattern more or less for the pointers. Really nobody there for contain. Baumgartner rolled out to his left, and it was just pursued from behind, and they just couldn't quite catch him in time before he got to the first down marker.
Lute fans, if you're going to travel over the holidays, call in the good people at Parkland Travel, where you can always find the lowest airfares available, located at 12816 Pacific Avenue. It's Parkland Travel. Baumgartner stays in shotgun formation. He's ready to go, and now a first down and 10 from the PLU 24-yard line. Lutes again looking blitz. Keith Krassen, of course, the defensive quarterback for the Lutes, and here come now the flags fly, and perhaps too much time taken by Stevens Point, as Baumgartner was back there in shotgun formation for a good long while on first down. It is a delay of game. It'll be first and 15 from the PLU 29-yard line with 11:58 to play in this second quarter.
That's our third penalty already here in the third quarter, and total now, Wisconsin Stevens Point has 7 penalties for 55 yards. PLU, not much better. 6 penalties, 45 yards, but both teams struggling there.
Lutes haven't lost in 12 games. Wisconsin Stevens Point lost 9 weeks ago and not since. Two teams really going at it. The Lute crowd really coming alive. Baumgartner says he can't hear. The official says, yes, you can. Kenny takes the snap. Back to pass. Look. Throws deep in the end zone. Larson there defensively, and he overthrew Theo Blanco at the 10-yard line. Interesting event there, Steve. As Baumgartner turned to the official, said he couldn't hear, and the official apparently could hear fine and said, oh, sure you can. Go with it.
They are loud. The PLU fans are loud over on the other side of the field, but I don't think they're that loud. Now you're just egging them on more. Craig Mathiasen from the secondary position was leading cheers, I might add, encouraging the crowd. But now, where they are right now might be a problem, but because Baumgartner turned to the official and did that, he's just going to cause more problems for himself.
You make the crowd a factor, they'll become an even bigger one. A thunderous applause now booming from the PLU sideline. Baumgartner's probably right now, he can't hear, but the official not ready to wave it off. These are Pac-10 officials. Baumgartner back to pass. Look, throws on the right side. Complete the tweet at the 15-yard line. He's dragged out of bounds around the 12 by Brian Larson. So Baumgartner, despite perhaps being rattled or giving the appearance thereof, comes up with a big pass play to the wide receiver Cleet, as just under the coverage, Steve tucked under Brian Larson for the big completion and a first down down to the PLU 11-yard line.
You made a good point about the noise. The officials are from the Pac-10. The officials are probably thinking, if you think this is loud, you don't know what loud is until you get someplace else bigger. So officials have no sympathy for Baumgartner.
Derek Bowen over the ball at center. This is a big play here for the Lute defense and the pointer offense. He's got the ball, and in shotgun formation is Baumgartner. He sends Blanco in slow motion from right to left, and Baumgartner rolling out. He's going to run it himself. Lute's in pursuit. Will they get there? Stack him up at the 9-yard line. Elston brings him down in a heap at the 9 after a gain of 2. Good coverage in the end zone. Baumgartner wanted to throw for it. He tucked it in, began to run, and it was brought down by Scott Elston. And now some shoving matches going on down below, and I think Baumgartner might be hurt as he was brought down in a heap by Scott Elston, and some pushing and shoving going on down below, and we'll see what that's all about. But it is Kirk Baumgartner who is down, and we've gone from thunderous applause on both sides down to dead silence at this point.
We have, and definitely something's wrong. He's not moving much, still flat on his back. Really tough situation for the PLU secondary that time. You got Baumgartner rolling out. He's got three receivers on the same side of the field. Got guys don't know whether to stay in the end zone, cover the receivers, and you just have to wait till the last moment till you know that quarterback has crossed the line of scrimmage before you can come up and apply the pressure of the hit, as Elston did there, a terrific hit. Still, Bumgarner on the ground.
He took a tremendous shot. They have two backup quarterbacks on the active roster. Bob Roloff is one of them. And they also have Joe Parrish. And it's Joe Parrish, I think, who's the second-string quarterback, and he may be coming into the ball game. So Joe Parrish, the second-string quarterback, who has thrown only 12 passes this season, as John Stackenstead shows me. He's completed three of those, and it depends how badly Baumgartner is hurt. Elston put a hit on him. That's, of course, the price you pay when you run with the ball, but he seems to be walking off the field under his own power. But I'm not sure that it's the legs that are the problem, as he is coming off the field a little bit shaken, and he will come out for at least this play, as Joe Parrish will come in and handle the quarterback duties. So a big loss for Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Of course, the Lutes had Mike Tuiasosopo carried off the field in the first half, and he's back there starting the second half. So you really never know how severe the situation is, and we may see Baumgartner come back. But Joe Parrish, I mentioned, he's thrown the ball only 12 times all season. He's a freshman at 195 pounds, and he comes in a very tight situation from the PLU 9-yard line. A second down and seven with 11 minutes now to play in the third quarter, and a 6-6 tie. Stroud coming alive once again. Should be this way throughout this second half. Parrish in shotgun formation back to his own 15-yard line. He's going to throw for the 13th time this year. Airs it out in the end zone. Incomplete. Boy, he had for a moment. He had Tweet in the end zone. But the Lutes had it covered, and Parrish angled it a little high. Steve Tweet jumped for it. Couldn't come down with it. And now a third down and seven from the PLU 9-yard line. And if you're Joe Parrish, Steve, you want to make sure you don't throw it away. You at least salvage a field goal attempt.
And if you're Joe Parrish, it looks like you're going to come out of the game. And Bumgarner looked like he had problems with his right forearm that got hit there. Not sure what the problem was. That's what they were looking at. They didn't even bother to bring him over to the bench. They just talked to him right next to head coach DJ Leroy as they gave him some treatment there.
This is it. Third down and seven from the PLU 9-yard line, and a 6-all tie for the national title here in this third quarter with 10 minutes. And Baumgartner back in the game. Straight formation. No shotgun. Throws over the middle off a blitz. Incomplete. In and out of the hands of the end zone of Atron Kenny. Like he had it, but Mike Cheney bumped him. Craig Mathias in there as well, and it went in and out of the hands, and he dropped 6 points, and the field goal unit comes on to try to salvage three.
And boy, Atron Kenny knows he should have had that one. It hit him right in the numbers, and he took a bump from behind from Cheney, but certainly it was right there. Nice pass that time by Bumgarner. Had pressure right in his face, threw off his back, off his heels, and just rifled it in there. Good velocity for throwing that way.
It is Parrish who is on for the field goal attempt. Field goals this year, he's just 5 of 12. This will be a 26-yard attempt, spotted down by Dantoin at the 16. The kick is up, high enough, long enough, and it's good. So Joe Parrish throws one pass, incomplete, but comes up with a 3-point kick. A field goal. We'll take 30 seconds, 10:33 to play. Third quarter, it's now Wisconsin-Stevens Point 9 and PLU 6.
Toby Hart for Budget.
Back at the Tacoma Dome, 9-6 Stevens Point in front of the Lutes with 10:33 to play in the third quarter. It is a 26-yard field goal by Joe Parrish. The Pointers had the ball for 12 plays before settling for the field goal. They started on their own 26-yard line, got it down to the PLU 9, but sputtered and couldn't get it into the end zone, and the Lutes keep them out of there on that first possession of this third quarter. It almost consumed 5 minutes, well, about four and a half. The kickoff is away, and it is deep. It's taken by Mike Hammond. The freshman's going to keep it himself out of the 10. Speedy one at 15, 20, 25. Dives forward to the 27. Nice run back by Mike Kim of about 22 yards, and he gives the Lutes the ball on their own 27-yard line in this third quarter. The first offensive possession for the Lutes with 10:26 to play in the third, and ball control has been the order of the day for both teams. Neither team moving up and down the field quickly, and the turnovers have been kept down, and we've seen the teams keep it a lot of minutes and a lot of plays. This is only the fifth possession for PLU in the game, and we're 5 minutes into the third quarter. Jeff Yarnell now against the crowd of Wisconsin Stevens Point that's really trying to bother Jeff and neutralize the home field advantage. Yarnell hand off to Cribbs, straight ahead. He gets maybe a yard. Looks slow and developing, as if when Yarnell turned to Cribbs, Eric didn't expect the football and took it and carried it for about a yard or two. It'll be second down and nine.
That did look like a little bit of mix-up. If the Pointer fans think they're going to rattle Jeff Yarnell, number one, I don't think they have enough people here, although many have made the trek out from Wisconsin, but Jeff Yarnell, used to pressure situations, used to big games like this. He's not going to let that bother him.
9:57 to play. Yarnell comes up, looks over the situation. Tight end to the right side is Mike Welch. Yarnell just yells a little bit louder. Slot to the left. Dorsey and Napier in motion. Yarnell back to his own 18-yard line to pass. Deflected over the middle and incomplete at the 35-yard line. Yarnell tried to go over the middle to Mark Miller. It was knocked incomplete in a last-minute dive by Craig Verhagen. He tried to come up with the interception, but well short as it fell to the turf. And now a third down and nine situation. Important here, Steve. The Pointers have still shown that they can move the football. Not a lot of points on the board, but if the Lutes don't get a first down here, they'll have to punt it away. And that pendulum of momentum could swing in the Pointers' direction.
That it could. It's definitely a big play here just to quiet the crowd.
Lutes come up, double tight ends. Miller left, Wilk right. Backfield, it's only Cribbs. As Steve Ballack has come into the game, and Yarnell back to pass. Cribbs stays in the block. He steps under coverage, throws it over the middle. Ballack can't make the catch to the 35. It wouldn't have been enough for a first down anyway, and the Lutes will have to punt it away. They tried to go to Ballack, the senior, over the middle, but Yarnell got a lot of heat inside, and I don't think he looked to his other options, as Ballack wouldn't have had enough for a first down even had he made the catch, as he was impacted right on contact with the football. 9:36 to play in the third. Craig Mathiasen comes on, and the Lutes will have to punt it away.
Yarnell that time had pressure, had to step up in the pocket. That really didn't give him enough time to look to secondary receivers.
Mathiasen from his own 10-yard line barely gets this one away. A high-hanging punt, and Blanco calls for a fair catch and nearly dropped it. And Brett McCray bearing down on him, but Blanco has it on his own 40-yard line. Good field position for the Pointers here in this third quarter as we're down to 9 minutes and 28 seconds to play in quarter number three, and Wisconsin Stevens Point swinging to a 9-6 lead.
PLU defense needs to come out here, make a stand, reestablish themselves, although they only gave up 3 points last time. Boy, get the Pointers down that close, and you just can't keep them out. Expect to keep them out every time, and they gave up a field goal last time. We need to shut things down.
Pointers, who were in the playoffs last year when they were in NCAA Division III, they lost in the first round. This is the first title game for the Pointers in their history, and 30-year-old DJ Leroy has his team in good gear, and now here's a pitch out that's strung out well by the Lutes as Theo Blanco can't get anywhere, and the Lutes just continue to run laterally as Blanco lined up at the right hash mark was the football, and he took it all the way to the left for a gain of maybe a yard, if that, and it'll, well, maybe he lost a yard as now they're moving it back a little bit inside the 40-yard line. It's going to bring up a second down and 10. The Lutes pursued well that time. The Lutes, of course, have been able to handle a lot of running teams. It's always been the passing teams that have sometimes given the Lutes trouble, but even that, today, for the most part, they've handled it pretty well.
Ken Byrne that time in pursuit from the backside just took a terrific block, and how he got up, he took it right on the knee. It was a legal block, but boy, those linemen just pay the price from the size down.
It's Tuiasa Sopo and Byrne inside of the ends, Wolf and Wiersma for this down. Wiersma in for Crawl, who we've already seen a lot of today. Back to pass, Baumgartner. He wasn't in a shotgun. Tuiasa Sopo after him. His pass incomplete over the middle. He tried to get it to Keith Majors at the 45-yard line, and now a third down at 11 coming up for Wisconsin Stevens Point, and a big play for the Pointers to keep their drive alive.
Steve Tweet. Tweet came, or Baumgartner came back across the middle.
9:16 to play. Here is Baumgartner now, shotgun formation on a third down and 11. The ball on his own 40-yard line. Back, throws it across the green, complete to Don Maley in the tight end. Or no, it's Prince, Jim Prince, for a first down of the PLU 47-yard line. And Prince that time got just enough for the first down, got a little bit of room on that right side away from Brian Larson, the cornerback, and got the completion. And now the ball in PLU territory at the 48-yard line.
Baumgartner showing that time the strength of his arm. out pattern, and he was more or less on the left hash mark throwing back to the right sideline, and you got to put some speed on that ball to get it out there because that's a dangerous half to throw, and he showed it quite well that he has a strong arm.
Baumgartner still in shotgun formation from the PLU 48-yard line. He's got a triple receiver formation to the left side angle, and Blanco comes and takes it on a flanker handoff. You can see it developing. The Luke Cranston after him. Blanco gets away a little bit down to the 42-yard line and spun out of bounds. Blanco picks up good yardage, a gain of about 7 down to the PLU 41-yard line. That play, of course, develops as a pass, and then they hand it off to the flanker, Blanco, coming from right to left. And by the time the Lutes can react to it, Blanco's got a wall of blocking on that left side, and he made the most of it with a 7-yard pickup. And now a penalty called against one of the Lutes, and that'll give Wisconsin-Stevens Point a first down. And I think it was a personal foul.
And we also have a man down. It appears to be Craig Mathiason. On the far sidelines, he's actually on the Luke sidelines as the trainers are working over him.
He is off the field, however, so play will resume. Mathiason is out on the field. I think it's O'Donnell.
It is.
Mike O'Donnell is who is down. Mathiason is out there. Brett McCray comes in now to replace O'Donnell. Boy, the players have been dropping like flies on both sides, but seeming having the ability to come back and get back in it and make a big play. We've seen John Carl and John Wolf do that today. We're at the 9-minute, 1-second mark of the third quarter. Stevens Point 9, PLU 6. And Stevens Point with the ball down in the Lute 27-yard line after the personal foul, and I'm not sure who that was called on. Here's Baumgartner. This time he gives a little handoff to the flanker, Rose. Rose running 20-yard line down to the 16. That flanker handoff is working because the Lutes are looking fast, and by the time they react, Barry Rose has it down to the PLU 16-yard line, and that's going to be close to another first down.
You're listening to PLU Football on AM 85, KTAC, Tacoma.
8 minutes, 45 seconds to play third quarter. 9-6, Wisconsin-Stevens Point in front of the Lutes. The chain gang is onto the field to measure to see if the pointer's got a first down on the run by Barry Rose on the second flanker handoff in a row. And as they measure, they find, yes, first down, Wisconsin-Stevens Point on the PLU 16-yard line.
Exact same play, just as you said, Trent, just to the other side, and PLU looking for the pass, and it's hard to figure out just what's going on. Now Scott Squires comes running in from the sidelines to call a timeout, and looks like Frosty wants the whole defensive crew on the sideline.
Well, I think that's Paul Hosef, though Frosty is certainly out there, and he may call him over as well. Usually Frosty huddles with the offense when the defense is on the field, but he's out there on the sideline with Paul Hosef in his 20th year, and we'll take a 30-second timeout, 8:45 to play third quarter. It is Stevens Point 9, PLU 6. Back at the Tacoma Dome, 8:45 to play third quarter, Steve, and the Lutes trailing 9-6 with the pointers on the PLU 16-yard line have to call a timeout defensively.
Just shows the importance of the next three downs coming up. PLU just cannot afford to give up a touchdown. They just put themselves in too tough a situation, although we've seen them come back time and again, especially in the playoffs, in the fourth quarter. But it just shows you what's weighing on the next three downs.
The ball on the 16-yard line. Stevens Point working its offense from our left to our right. And now down in our, from our vantage point, the right side of the field, as the Lute crowd coming alive on the far side, trying to encourage the defense to hold. The Lutes have gone with two linebackers all game long, Keith Cranston and Guy Kovac. They've not swayed from that very often, if at all. And now quarterback Baumgartner gives it to Rose. Up the middle, quick opener, 5-yard line. He's cut down by Brent McCray. Barry Rose was on his way to the end zone. If McCray doesn't make that hit and it's down inside the five, they can throw the chains down because it's first and goal from the 3-yard line of the Lutes. And now the pressure really on the PLU defense to hold.
We talked earlier in the first half that Stevens Point may have problems with PLU's balance. Right now in this series, it's the Lutes having problems with Stevens Point's balance on offense, as they have shown the Lutes a little bit of everything. Running up the middle right there, they've shown them out patterns, they've shown them a couple of reverses.
And the possession time is amazing here, not in the disparity, but in the length of these drives. Here's Baumgartner, hand off to Theo Blanco. He tries to dive to the left side, maybe gets down to the 1.5-yard line. It'll bring up a second and goal from, we'll say, the 1, as Blanco just tried to dive, and they figure figure a couple more dives and they'll get into the end zone unless the Lutes can knock them back. And PLU making some defensive changes here as Dan Wiersma comes into the game, and out of the game right now goes John Krall as the Lutes set up to play against the run. The ball down right around the 1.5-yard line with 7:50 to play, and the Pointers break the huddle, and the Lutes trying to keep the Wisconsin team out of the end zone and make it a three-point game and keep it there as Wisconsin leads by a 9-6 count. Baumgartner at quarterback. This time he hands off second man Blanco. He's over. He's in. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Stevens Point. Theo Blanco, a 1.5-yard run. And he gives the Pointers a 15-6 lead over PLU pending the conversion.
Nice line surge that time on the left side of the Stevens Point offensive line. And Blanco just takes it up and over the pile. And the whole pile just moves forward. No doubt about it. He had his upper part of his torso well into the end zone.
And now they will kick the conversion as it is 15-6. The fact that both teams missed the extra point sort of takes out the two-point conversion from the strategy, at least at this point of the game. And on for the conversion is Joe Parrish. On the season, he's 21 of 25, and he will try to kick it and make it a 16-6 game. The kick is up by Parrish, and it is good. Barely inside that left upright. We'll take 30 seconds, 7:33 to play, third quarter. A long way to go, but the Pointers starting to establish some momentum. NAIA Division II National Championship. The Pointers 16, PLU 6.
Parkland Travel reminds you that the holiday season is fast approaching, so make those travel plans now. Stop in or call Parkland Travel at 535-1600. Let them find you the lowest airfare available. Parkland Travel, serving Parkland and PLU since 1979. Parkland Travel has thousands of free brochures and a friendly, knowledgeable staff to help you with every detail of your travel plans. Parkland Travel, 12816 Pacific Avenue, open weekdays 9 to 5 and Saturdays 10 to 4. Call 535-1600 for Parkland Travel.
7:33 to play, third quarter. The Pointers leading 16-6 over the Lutes in this championship contest. The Pointers go 60 yards in a minute 55. It took 9 plays, and Theo Blanco, a 2-yard run for a touchdown at the 7:33 mark of the third quarter. And now, Steve, the Lutes trailing by 10 points. You figure the Lutes have come from behind before, but they're not getting a lot of possession. They will have what is going to be only their sixth possession of the game coming up here as it is kicked away by Parrish and taken by Mike Kim from his 15-yard line, the freshman running laterally, trying to get some open room out of the 20-yard line up to the 25-yard line, and he is smothered there as Mike Kim gives the Lutes a decent field position at the 25. But getting back to my point, Steve, the Lutes aren't going to get a lot of opportunities, judging by how long these possessions by each team are lasting, and they've got to perhaps make something happen here, even though it's only midway through the third quarter.
They've got to come up with some big plays on offense. They have to break that trend on defense with Stevens Point getting 10-11 plays a drive, if not more, and we'll see what they do right here as Yarnell brings them up.
Yarnell working from a right hash mark. Splits Miller out to the left and Napier a slot to the left. Yarnell on a sprint out. Got some time. Dumps it off to Dorsey. He dives and makes a catch at the 30-yard line. A pickup of about 5 yards. It'll bring up a second down and 5 as Dorsey that time down on the ground. No chance to advance the ball after the catch as he just tried to make it. And the Lutes not being able to run effectively on first down, except when they have run the ball. Of course, penalties have hurt them. But the fact that they haven't really been confident going to the running game early, or at least of late, as they had some success early, they may go to these middle yardage pass plays. From the left hash mark, 6:49 to play, third quarter, and Yarnell on a third down and 5. Now he goes with a quick pitch to Napier. Got blocking from Curley, but it collapsed quickly back at the 29. Napier's brought down. And now the Lutes definitely in a passing situation as Napier was cut down by Bob Bostad, the freshman who at his linebacker spot leads all Pointers in tackles this season.
Jeff Yarnell at halftime, 8 of 16, 90 yards. Right now, just 9 of 17 for 95 yards. So he's got to pick up in that department if the Lutes expect to make a comeback. They need a passing.
Yarnell comes up. It's a third down and 5 to go. This is a biggie here from the 29-yard line of PLU, and the Lutes trailing by 10 points, 16-6 in the third quarter. Yarnell looks up and down the line, and he's got a play action. Curley there to block, and the cut is made by Miller, but he's not enough for a first down. Cut down to the 33-yard line. line, and the punting unit will be onto the team. Somehow Steve Miller ended up between the 30 and 35, and he needed to be beyond the 35 for a first down. So despite the catch, it only goes for about 3 yards, and they're a couple of yards shy.
They try and hold the linebackers inside on that play-action fake and just hope to get Miller out there, sneak him out there a bit into the flat before anybody really notices him. But that time, the pointers were onto it, and a nice hit made.
Mathiasen stands on his own 18-yard line. He'll punt it away. Theo Blanco is deep to receive. 10 men on the line. They're going to try to come for the blocker. Now they kind of back off and play for the return, and the Lutes are ready, and Blanco calls for a fair catch on his own 32-yard line, and the pointers will have it there already with this game in command right now, at least momentum-wise, with 5:17 to play in the third quarter. It's pointers 16 and PLU 6, and now the Lutes have to get set and play tough defense. The pointers only one time have been held below eight plays on a given drive. That was in the second quarter when they got just 4 plays before punting it away. Every other possession other than that, they've had it for at least 8 plays and as many as 12. And here come the pointers from the 31-yard line, their own 31 here to start, as Keith Majors, the fullback. And now Baumgartner to throw. Lazy pass on the flat, incomplete. Got tipped at the line. He tried to go to Atron Kenny, and the Lutes almost had a chance to intercept it as it was far short of Atron Kenny, but it just faltered to the turf, incomplete. Second and 10 coming up.
If Kenny catches that ball, he may be off to the races, as he really split the defenders, the last two defenders that were there for the Lutes. And if he makes that catch with his speed, he may score on that. But somebody either hit Baumgartner or tipped the ball just as he was releasing it.
Incredible ratio these two starting quarterbacks have in winning percentage, and I'll get to that in a moment. But Baumgartner in a shotgun formation. Line of scrimmage is the 32-yard line of Stevens Point, and again, a flanker handoff. It's Barry Rose, running room 35-yard line out of the 40-yard line, and a flag comes down to the backfield. The line of scrimmage was the 32, and they're going to be short of a first down, but again, a flag has come down, and a player is down, mentioning the percentage of victories for these two starting quarterbacks. In his career for a PLU, quarterback Jeff Yarnell is 31-4-2 when in a starting role. That's 86.5% on the winning side. Kirk Baumgartner in a starting role, 20-3. That's 87% in a winning role. So these two quarterbacks have certainly led their teams in the past. Yarnell, of course, his senior season. Kirk Baumgartner in just his sophomore campaign. It was a holding call against Wisconsin Stevens Point. It's going to move the pointers back 10 yards, back to the 22-yard line as the Lutes accept the penalty. It'll bring up a second down and 20 with 5:07 to play in the third, and the Lutes trailing by 10.
And we now have a total of 14 penalties in this game, 8 against Stevens Point. They have 8 for 70 yards, PLU 6 for 45. So not a well-played game from that aspect, although both teams have done very well hanging on to the ball. I think we've only had just the one interception that Kurt Baumgartner threw.
The crowd on the far side for the Lutes clapping in unison, trying to egg on the defense here in a second and 20 faced by Kirk Baumgartner and the pointers. And apparently the player's still down right at the 38-yard line. It's a pointer who's down, and they're holding up play until they take care of his situation. And we've seen no progress in that direction. All POU broadcasts on KTAC are brought to you by Budget Car and Truck Rental, located at 100th and Lakeview. Open 7 days a week. Call Budget Car and Truck Rental anytime for reservations. And of course, this national championship game is brought to you by Suburban Realty on KTAC, located at 11302 Pacific Avenue. Suburban Realty has been serving the Parkland Spanaway area since 1949. Injured player now up and coming off the field under his own power, as that pointer offense has been ready to roll for a while. It's right guard Bob Furlong, the senior, is that entire senior offensive line. So we'll see who comes in his spot here in a moment, as the ball on the 22-yard line of Wisconsin Stevens Point and a second down and 20 facing Kirk Baumgartner and the pointers. As they come to the line now, and the Lutes defense is set, constantly changing defensive line. Paul Mall is in there now at... Looks like the Lutes have gotten out of 3 defensive linemen. Weersma to the right. Tackle is Maul along with Tui Asasopo. They hand out to Barry Rosen. Scott Squires and Paul Maul make the tackle at the 25-yard line. Lutes can almost feel it now. They're in a good position to really shut down a lot of what the pointers are doing, because now it's a third down and 17 yards to go, and you figure they're going to the air. And, of course, if they go to that flanker handoff, unless it works really big, the Lutes are going to be able to contain that.
That's exactly right. The penalty certainly helping out PLU, and the flank reverse has picked up good yardage, but it has not picked up the type of yardage that they need here on third down.
Barry Rose comes out of the game. Here come the pointers. Big third down and 16. Baumgartner in shotgun formation to throw over the middle. Overthrows everybody at the 45-yard line. It falls incomplete, and the Lutes will get the ball back following a punt. Jamie Conway came into that right guard spot for the injured pointer, Bob Furlong, but it doesn't happen on the pass play as, again, Baumgartner overthrows everybody as he tried to go over the middle. 4:07 to play. The punting unit, Dan D'Antoine, comes on, and he will boot it away after just four plays. So the Lutes held defensively. D'Antoine stands on his own 10-yard line, steps forward, boots it away. The Lutes almost run into him, but don't. And now Scott Elson takes it 50-yard line, steers to the right side, stiff arms the man, 45, down to the 44, Stephen Point. Lutes versus Point, 44.
Scott Elson that time showing that he's got what it takes. He had a guy bearing down on him, coming down full speed, and Elson elected not to take the fair catch and probably didn't see him, but I'm sure he sensed him. As soon as he caught the ball, he just made a jab step and let that man fly by him, and Elson picked up a nice game.
100 NAIA Division II schools were playing 10 weeks ago, and we're down to two now. PLU and Stephen Point. The Lutes from the Wisconsin Stephen Point 44-yard line, and Jeff Yarnell, tight end, to the right side angle. Welkin, a handoff straight ahead to Pat Dorsey, the halfback. He takes it for a 6-yard gain, well, about a 4-yard gain, maybe down to the 40-yard line. It'll be second down and six as the Lutes comfortable right now in good field position, going with a run on first down and 3:42 to play in the third and counting, and PLU trailing by 10 points. The Lutes have made fourth quarter comebacks in each of their last two victories at Carroll, Montana 2 weeks ago, and of course last week coming from behind in the fourth quarter to beat Baker, Kansas in overtime. Wisconsin Stevens Point has really rolled up big numbers in the fourth quarter. In close games, they've pulled away from their opponents. So we'll have to wait and see what kind of scenario is going to develop here in the title game. As Yarnell on a second and six gets it to Krebs, he's stacked up behind the line of scrimmage, a loss of two. Back to the 42-yard line. It's going to bring up third down and about six and a half, maybe seven, as Krebs had nowhere to go up the middle.
Yarnell, with the motion he made up at the line of scrimmage, looking side to side and taking a long time, I'm sure he changed the play, and maybe what he saw from Stephen Point wasn't what he was expecting, or Stephen Point went back to what they originally changed the defense on him as he changed the play, because that play went nowhere.
Yarnell now working from the middle of the field. He sends Dorsey in motion from left to right, and Yarnell back to pass on a big third and eight over the middle. It's complete. Welk, 30-yard line, first down. Somehow Welk found a seam in the secondary and came up with a big catch, as just there a little late was Brent Harder, the outside linebacker. He was there to make the tackle, but Yarnell put it on a rope to Mike Welk for a completion.
Mike Welk now, six catches, 75 yards. I've said it many times before already. He's getting all his receptions right in the same area, just about 10 or 12 yards down the field, and that's where Yarnell needs to keep looking.
Mike Welk needs just one more catch to tie a season record for any PLU receiver in history. They stay in tight with double tight ends, and Napier goes in motion. Yarnell back to pass. Center screen. It's Welk, 30-yard line, 25. Steps over man, 20, 15. He's brought down a heap. Mike Welk, a big gainer down to the 15, a 15-yard pickup. They went with that center screen earlier in the game, but it was all called back because they had someone ineligible downfield. But 2 minutes to play now in this third quarter. The Lutes trailing by 10 and have it on the pointer, 16-yard line.
And there's nothing worse if you're a defensive lineman to get burned on the screen. The offense gives them just enough resistance to think that they're really trying, and the offensive linemen are licking their chops, seeing Yarnell in their sights, and then before you know it, they got Welk with the ball, and nice blocking by the offensive line.
Oh, they came in droves, and they came in a hurry, and Yarnell had to hang in there and say, this is going to work, it's going to work, and it did. Yarnell now rolling out on a sprint-out pass, looks toward the end zone, angles it deep, and I think he threw it away. He wanted Mike Welk in the right corner, but Welk well-covered by Tom Goggard, and Goggard right with him, the sophomore, with five interceptions this year, and the last thing Yarnell wanted to do was put it up there where it'd be a a toss-up as to who was going to catch the ball. It's second down and 10 from the Pointer's 16-yard line with a minute 36 to play, and the Lutes still trail by 10 points.
Yarnell under heavy pressure that time from the backside, rolling out to his right, and he took a pretty good lick from the backside. He hit the turf just as soon as he let go of the ball. Did the smart thing, though. Just let it ride out of bounds, and now Jeff Yarnell wants a timeout.
We'll do the same. 60-second break, 1:35 to play. Third quarter, NAIA Division II national title game. Wisconsin Stevens Point 16, PLU 6.
85 KTAC.
We are back, a minute 35 to play, third quarter. Lutes trailing 16-6. They have the ball on the Pointer 16-yard line and a second down and 10 situation. Yarnell called a timeout. He wanted to talk to Frosty Westering about it. Slot right is Napier. Wide to the right is Dorsey as they run both halfbacks out there. Napier comes in motion, now goes outward motion, and Yarnell to throw. Got to get rid of it in a hurry. He overthrows it over the middle. It's incomplete. He threw it right at the caps of John Edmonds on the offensive line, and Yarnell got heat in a hurry, had to get rid of it, didn't have much choice, and that brings up a third down and 10 as Brent Harder quickly on a blitz from his linebacker spot.
Hard to tell what that play was going to be because Yarnell got pressure so quick from the outside. Looked like another middle screen, though, because you had Welkin Miller both inside behind the offensive lineman.
And Yarnell working from a left hash mark, big third and 10. Dorsey goes out and Steve Valick has come into the game. Steve has made some big catches in this situation for the Lutes before. And now a token play action and he throws it. Valick, 10-yard line, makes the catch, 5. And he is brought down and a flag comes down. He is just outside the first down marker. He needed to get to the 6 as it looked like he may have dived to the 5-yard line. But a flag is down around the 15-yard line. They'll sort that out and apparently against the Lutes.
It is against the Lutes. Saw the official make some kind of signal. Not sure what it was. He was standing on the far sideline, but definitely pointed back to PLU. And as he comes out to our vision of sight here, we'll see what he calls.
Lute fans, if you're looking for a new automobile, check out Jet Chevrolet, featuring a huge selection of new and used cars and trucks located on I-5 and Federal Way. Your Top Gun Chevrolet dealer is Jet Chevrolet. Steve, did you see what they called there?
It was illegal motion. I'm thinking maybe it was on Tom Napier. He was in motion. He could have possibly turned up field just a split second too early.
Lute's penalized 8 times today for 65 yards, as John Stackestead shows me, with a minute 15 to play in the third quarter, and the Lute's now working from their own 21-yard line. So it's only a 5-yard penalty, but it makes it that much tougher. It's third down and 15 from the 21-yard line of Stevens Point. Valick goes in motion, and Yarnell rolling out to the right side, looks and throws, tries to get a completion. He does, right at the 6-yard line, but I think it may be a tackle forward as Mike Welk made the catch, and it's going to be close for a first down measurement. And what a tough situation for Frosty Westering. Do you kick the field goal, almost a sure 3 for Coldham, or go for it on a 4th down and 1? You're down 10 points. Coldham's on the field to try to pull within 7.
That he is there a good 2 yards short of the first down marker. Looked like that ball was actually tipped at the line of scrimmage, but it got there with enough velocity, and Welk made the catch on his knees.
23 seconds to play in this third quarter. Coldham's got to have this. He's on the right hash mark. Yarnell will hold. It's going to be a 25-yard field goal. Coldham approaches the ball. The kick is up, and it is good. And the Lutes are a touchdown away now as we have 10 seconds to play third quarter, and we will keep it right here as the Lutes drive down a long way. Steve, they took it on their own. Well, they actually took it on the 44-yard line. The previous possessions, they had horrible field position, but now from the Stevens Point 44-yard line, they take it down, get it to the 7-yard line, but have to settle for the field goal. But that pulls the Lutes to within a touchdown. They no longer need 2 possessions to win.
That's exactly right. And it takes the pressure off the offense there. They needed a 2 scores of some type to get ahead or to tie. They got the field goal there. They got something they needed. Obviously, they would like to have come away with the touchdown, and they get a penalty, which hurt them down there, because the play before, that was a lot closer to the first down marker than what Welk's catch was there. It would have been interesting to see if Frosty would have gone for it there, because it's definitely within a yard or so.
But now the Lutes within a possession of being able to come back and win this game. We will point out right now that in case these two teams are tied at the end of regulation, there would be no overtime. It would go as a co-champion decision. That's an NAI rule in long standing. And, of course, many people figure that's like kissing your sister and waiting for that kiss to the last day. And perhaps Frosty Westering would feel that way, I'm almost certain. And if the Lutes were to get a touchdown, they would try to go for two and win the game. But if a situation does arise where it's a tie game at the end of regulation, there will be no Kansas tiebreaker. It will be ruled a co-championship draw. And now, Coldham set to kick off. Atron Kenny, Barry Rose, deep to receive. And we'll see what Eric does. He's tried to get him near the sideline to bother Rose and Kenny from trying to get a good run back. And Coldham this time kicks it deep, and it's taken by Kenny on his own 3-yard line. Out to the 5, heads toward the middle of the field, the 10, the 15. Lutes bring him down beyond the 15. He's pummeled by a number of Lutes special teamers. 3 seconds to play in this third quarter. 16-9. Wisconsin Stevens Point in front of the Lutes, and the Pointers will start here. This possession in this third quarter, they'll probably run one play, and then we'll be out of time in the third quarter, and it will start from the 16-yard line of Wisconsin Stevens Point.
Kenny had snuck up to about the 10-yard line, going by his judgments of previous Coltham kicks, and that time Coltham put it inside the 5. He had to go back and get it, and Luke pursuit was very good. I'm sure Ralph Weekly pleased with that effort.
Dan Weirs made one defensive end, Paul Maul at the other, and the Lutes have gone to 3 down linemen now. A big change for Paul Hoseth as Mike Tuiasosilpa with a nose tackle. Strange when we've seen a 3-man defensive front, and now Baumgartner tried to go back to hand it off. Time expires, third quarter, and Baumgartner brought down. And of course, this was going to be the last play of the third quarter, but the Pointers would have hoped to get a little more out of the play than nothing. It's going to be a 2nd and 10 when we come back, but first we'll take 60. We're at the end of 3 quarters, NAIA Division II National Championship, Wisconsin Stevens Point 16 and PLU 9.
It's an and 85 KTAC.